It says this, "Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts and wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, in which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." That was our theme. That was the verse. And it did come. And our VBS was based around this idea of two kingdoms. There are two kingdoms warring. There's a kingdom of this world, and there's a kingdom to come. There's God's kingdom. And when we taught the kids of VBS, even here, we did the same theme of the kingdoms. There's the evil kingdom, the dark kingdom, and there's the kingdom of light. And we used this scripture to base all that around. And so without further ado, we have a lot of things to say. So I'm going to try. If you see me coming up to someone tonight and just touching their elbow, I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just trying to get everybody their turn. I don't want you to be here till 10:30 at night, but you may want to be when you hear what happens here. So at first, I'm going to ask Leo McLean to come up and just talk about the traveling, departure, and whatnot, and what's on his heart.
First off, I want to thank all the prayers that they've said. Each one had a prayer partner. Mary was my prayer partner, and I couldn't have got a better partner to pray for me. I'm all excited. I think I'm still in Nova Scotia. I was born in Glasgow, Nova Scotia, so it was wonderful for me to go back and talk to people. But anyway, I'm going to ask you a question. Are you going up or are you going down? Who's going up? If anybody's not sure, ask me after it's over, ask one of the team, because that's my theme was, are you going up or are you going down? Okay, so anyway, I just want to... And you know, one man makes a difference in this world. Hitler was voted in by one vote. I think it was Finley was voted in, the President of the United States, one vote. So one person does make a difference. One person told me about Jesus Christ and my wife and I, 1966. Maybe the pastor, maybe your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, a stranger. Okay, I might get emotional, but that's the way I am. I can't help that. God made me that way. But anyway, maybe someone has told you. When's the last time someone come up to you and told you about Jesus or give you a tract? When's the last time you done it? No, Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. That's what God has made each one of us. Not just me, not just the other guy, but us. Okay? So I want to read a verse out of Romans 14, verse 11. And do this, understand at the present time, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than it was when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. The armor was our theme. Okay, put on the full armor of God. That was our theme. Okay, now I've got some... I only got a half hour to speak, so I got to hurry, eh? But anyway, as I said, one person does make a difference in this world. Where would you be? Ask yourself, where would you be if no one told you about Jesus? Maybe it's the same, mother, father, uncle, stranger. Think about it. It's time for us to wake up. You know, life is like a vapor. If you're here today and gone tomorrow, it goes so quickly past. You know, why would you be ashamed? If it's just you and God, you're still in the majority. Why should we be ashamed? We have the truth. I'm scared. If God is for you, who can be against you? Nobody. But anyway, the leaders, we had a wonderful time. I got to love the young people and get to really know them. And as I said, it was just a wonder. It was a blessing to go down there. When Betty said if anyone would like to go. I said, Lord, I went to Jamaica 3 or 4 years ago, and what a blessing. I said, I'll never like to get the chance to go on a missionary trip again. And I had the chance, and I took it. And God has blessed me beyond measure. And the young people, they've come a long way, you know. We just want to continue on what God has done down there. And lives were saved. And I'm just going to give you an example of one man. that was saved. You know, we went down there, and but let's say it's the prayers of the people. You know, there's power in prayer. You know, and ask questions. The guy that witnessed to me and my wife went on for a year, a whole year before I gave my life to Christ. I want to make sure that what I knew, what at least half what I was learning, but it took a whole year for me to get saved. Because I kept asking questions and talking and going to church. I didn't go forward till Easter Sunday, 1966. I went forward to accept Jesus, and Jesus has changed my life and changed my wife's life and our life. And so anyway, I'm just here to tell you what God has done, and I'm telling you I know because it's truth, because it happened to me. So anyway, we were down there, and as I say, we went down and enjoyed it in the vans, and I got to love the people, and we have a wonderful leader in Betty. She's a very humble person, and you know that woman is a wonderful leader, and Vic, and Angie, and all the ones, and Debbie, and I don't know who I'm missing. And, but anyway, they're just a wonderful time, and God bless us. We prayed with the pastor, prayed with us before we went that God would use us, and God certainly used us in your prayers too. So don't give up in prayer. There's power in prayer. That man prayed for me for a year. Here I am saved, I'm talking about. I never went to church in my life, never been to Sunday school or nothing, nothing but nothing. Here I am up trying to talk. Now I'm there preaching, and you know, no edumacation, no nothing. Just an old blue nose. But anyway, okay, we went down on the ferry. We took the ferry from St. John's over to Digby, and from Digby we went, drove to Yarmouth. You know, they were up practicing their singing on the ferry, and they were all around in a group, and people were listening. Some didn't want to hear it. They walked out, and they were listening, and they were singing. And I said, I got to go for a little walk. So I go toward the washroom. God is sovereign. You know, we say nothing happens by, and even Noel says, even our next breath comes from God. You know that? It does. You know. And anyway, I'm going out there, and around this big ferry, and I go walking around, and of course, I'm wearing my shirt. Asking about Jesus. So anyway, I go out there, and I see the sailor, or this, I call him a sailor. He's in the army. He had his uniform on. He had his backpack on. He's sitting there looking up the ocean, all by himself. We went there for a job. All of us went there for a job to witness. And so anyway, I said, Lord, use me. And we prayed before we went. God, we can go. I said, God, I want to be on fire for you more than I ever was. Don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ. We've got the power. Jesus is for us. He's against us. Amen, brother. So anyway, I go out there. I'm sorry. So anyway, I go out there and I see this sailor sitting there. And he's sitting there and he's looking straight ahead. And I said, sir, are you going up or are you going down? He says, what do you mean? Well, I said, I'm asking you about Jesus. He says, it's funny you should say that. He said, 2 days ago, I had a pastor, a minister, come up to me and he said, you know, in the next 2 days, there's going to be someone to speak to you about the Lord. And I thought to myself, Pastor, peace the sovereignty of God. And I said, this is the sovereignty of God. So I said, ask me about Jesus. And he talked. And this one, I talked to him for about 15, 20 minutes. And I didn't want to lead. I didn't want to force him. You can't force nobody in the kingdom. So I talked to him. I quoted scripture. And anyway, he said, give me time to think about it. And there's a girl. She doesn't want me to mention her name, I feel like. But she came up to me and I said, whatever her name was. I said, you talk to that army guy. I said, he's thinking about, and she had her Bible with her. And she talked to him for about 15, 20 minutes. She came up to me and said, Leo. This guy wants to accept Jesus. I said, does he? So we went up on the deck, and we got in, just this girl and I, and Lance Coleman was his name, from Nova Scotia. He was in the Army. And he said, yes, I would like to accept. Now, listen, Lance, I said, this is not a game. I said, do you really want to accept Jesus? I said, there's a price you got to pay. He said, yes, I do. He said, Leo, you know, in all my life, you're the only one that's ever shed a tear for me. I had my arm around him, he wouldn't let me go. The only one in his life that shed a tear for him. Now, how many do we have out there today that don't shed a tear for people? Not even maybe their brother or sister. And here I am, a stranger, shedding a tear for this man. And we bowed in prayer, and I said, I want to make sure that you know what you're going, getting into. And he said, yes, I want to. So he accepted Jesus, and he come out of there, he had a smile in his face. I said, I got to bring you up to our leader. So I brought him up to Betty, and they were still on deck up top. And Betty, just a smile he had, I introduced him to all the young people.
And then I said, here's our leader. Betty had a Bible there for him. And Betty wrote in the Bible different names, and she put on the Leo. Leo, are you going up? Are you going down? For he'd remember me. And anyway, how long have I got, Vic?
You gotta
shut her down now, Vic. Oh, do I? Okay, but anyway, he accepted Jesus. I got to talk fast. He accepted Jesus as his Savior. And anyway, the smile was on that man's face. You couldn't believe it. And I kept in contact with him. And this other person doesn't want to be named. She emailed him back and forth. I phoned the pastor in Halifax, Sheila, give me your name, Angela's mother, the pastor down there. I phoned him last week. And Lance has read he's read the Gospel of John, and he's in the 2 Corinthians. And he says, you tell the ones back there I'm praying for them. Isn't that wonderful? So anyway, God is good.
Next is Matt Marsden. Now what's interesting is, come on up, Matt. What's interesting is we all thought we're going to run a VBS. But on the very first day, God said, no, you're going to evangelize. Now. Get going now. So, go ahead, Matt.
All right. My name is Matt, and I want to start off my first point with a question. How do you describe something that you yourself don't fully understand? This is how I feel about our first Monday night down there. Words fail when you try to express the experience of being broken by the Holy Spirit. And that Monday night, we went to the local pastor, Pastor Scott's house, for dinner. And I went expecting a burger and some soft drink and got so much more in return. And after dinner, our team sat down and we did one of our check-ins, we called it. The team went around and shared how they were feeling about the entire trip. And it was so moving. Words fail. The Holy Spirit was so present, and it was so real. Like, there's no way that I can describe it to you guys today. Our team was broken. We wept for each other, and it was a night of release of our problems, a night of God revealing himself to us in full. And it also bonded us as a team, I think, forever. All of us, it's a moment that in our individual lives we'll never forget. My next point is I'm going to talk about the van ride home. Now, when you're coming home from a vacation, usually the ride home is the depressing ride. Oh, we got to go back and go to work and school. And this is how it felt, that we were leaving our, like, where we had been as a team, and we had served the Lord for over a whole week. And in our van, we felt the need to not just sit there and do nothing. And we felt that there was a void there, and we had the hunger to read the scriptures. So while reading C.S. Lewis' Mere Christianity and discussing free will, it came up that some of us had never read the entire book of Revelation before, all the way through. And so we thought, well, why not? It's what we've read of it is amazing, so why don't we read it right now? So we started reading, and what a book. It's terrifying. And that book makes you feel like it gives you a burden for the souls of man. Like, how can you read that book and not want to share it with the world? It's like, how can you think to yourself, what, like, it's like, how, the world needs to hear these words. Like, this is what's going to happen, and it's coming soon. And so we need to go out and share the word with everyone in our lives, whether it's in school for young people, in work, no matter where you are, you should do your best to share the word and take up your cross. And I'll finish my little spiel with Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And that's, I think, should be for every Christian their goal in their life. Thank you.
Use you until you're broken. And so 3 months before we left, we started getting ready and we were praying. And part of my prayer was that God would break our group, and you heard that God did break kids in a very powerful, moving way. And I was just, it was excellent to be there to witness this change. One other thing that I thought of was it's amazing to see how young people, 11, 12, 13, 15, on the way back, instead of sleeping and being tired, are more anxious to read God's Word after they see God work. So with that said, I'm going to call up April, Emily Doucette, and Annie Doucette to talk about the DBS and daily evangelism, I think. So April, you can go first, Annie, and then...
God as our leader, we were able to host a bunch of events, and one of them being a vacation by the pool. So at the beginning of Monday, we were just waiting. We were wondering, years ago, the max they had was 10, so we weren't really praying about it. So 15 minutes after 9 had passed, we were all kind of worried, because, like, where were the kids? Was no one coming? And then, like, someone saw something and someone yelled, "Kids are coming," and we're like, "What?" And then, like, it was so cool to see all these kids just start piling in. Like, by the end, there were 28 kids. Like, that small town, it is amazing to see how God works. So that was just one of the amazing things we saw right at the beginning. On Tuesday, we went into small groups and had chats with the kids. And so I was placed with four boys who were pretty young. And to my surprise, I didn't know that they were all Christians. So it's kind of awesome to see how, like, sovereign our God is, that He would save these kids as young as they are. Like, God is so, like, gracious to us. It's kind of amazing. And so God, I don't know what, but I felt this pull toward this little girl that I just saw out of the corner of my eye sitting in another group. And I felt God telling me to go, like, get her. So I just went and got her and took her away. And we were so we started talking, and I learned that her name was Ella, and she was 6, and she was debating whether or not to go in the good kingdom or the bad. She was leaning toward the good, but she wasn't fully sure yet. So then I started talking, and then by the end of the day, I think that was the best day I had at VBS, because God had led me to her, and God helped me talk to her. It's only by God's power that I was able to do that. And by the end of the day, I found out that God had saved her into the good kingdom. That was the highlight of my whole trip. And it's by God's power. Like, none of us can grasp how amazing that is. Like, I, like, didn't really even talk to her. It was all God. So that's amazing to be used like that. And I met her mom and her two brothers, Hayden and David, and they go to Bayview now, and they're still going there. So we did this other event where we went to the senior vet's home, and Emily and I, we met a man named Blanchard, and we started talking to him, and then we asked if he knew God, and he told us no. And then he asked us if we knew God, and we said yes. And then we started talking about it, and then we got to know him a little bit. It's kind of cool to make those connections, especially with the vet. Like, they were in the war. That's actually amazing that they would do that for us. And by the end of the time, the senior vet, he said to us that he admitted he was a Christian. And he said that the only way to live was to live for God. And that was such a blessing to me and Emily. Like, it's amazing to see how people can impact your life, someone you just met for like an hour or so. So that really helped me grow in my faith. So I'm just going to end. This trip was a huge blessing to all 21 of us. We've all grown and learned so much. We all grew in our faith, and I definitely saw a change in the group. Like, there was no denial. There was a change. And God was definitely there the whole time. He was using us and working in us. We did nothing. It was all God, and we were just all blessed to be used by Him. God has a plan for each one of us, and I was just blessed to be a part of this plan. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future."
Hi, I'm Emily, and I was blessed to be able to go on this mission trip. And before we went, I kind of felt spiritually unfit. So it really helped me get back into shape, a.k.a. So, yeah, that was great. One thing that we did in VBS is we had a play every day, and it was about the good kingdom and the bad kingdom, and there was an evil queen, and she, like, got into the good kingdom and this whole big kerfuffle, but the kids really enjoyed it, and they seemed to understand it, and it was really fun to be in the play, and I'm sure that they liked it. So one thing that really moved me was this little girl named Jamie, and she karate chopped everybody. Like, sounds funny, but it wasn't. It hurt. The first day, I helped her memorize a verse, and then we kind of got to know each other, and we became friends. And that day, we were sharing the gospel. Well, the lesson was the gospel, and I got to talk with her after, and she wanted to go to the good kingdom, so I explained it to her, and I was able to lead her to the Lord, which is amazing. And the morning before, I had been praying, and I was like, God, I need you to help me to use somebody. I mean, use me to help somebody. So he did, and that was really cool. So April mentioned Blanchard, and Blanchard really touched me, too. Like, he was 93, and he still had such a firm faith, and he was still so excited, and it was really, really cool to see that, and it inspired me. And the guy that we stayed with, his name was George Snow, and he was not a Christian. He thought that you couldn't know if you're going to heaven or not, and I spent every morning having breakfast with him, and we'd talk about what we were going to do that day, and he came to the men's breakfast with us, and he was a really nice guy. I don't know if he even knew my name by the end of the week, but... one morning at breakfast, our last morning there, I just kind of, out of the blue, was like, are you a Christian? And he's like, well, yes. And I'm like, are you going to heaven? And he was like, well, nobody can know that. And I was like, I can know. And I hope that left a mark on him, because it really impacted me to make, yeah. So, thanks. That's it.
Hi, my name is Annie, and when I was very excited when I heard that I had the chance to go to Nova Scotia again this summer. I went in 2011, and it was an amazing experience. It taught me about the joys of serving the Lord, and I just really enjoyed hanging out with my Christian friends and stuff. Also in 2011, the Lord allowed Miss Betty and I to pray with a girl named Lindsay to accept Christ. When she prayed to accept Christ, she shared that she had been struggling to try and stop fighting with her siblings. That gave us a chance to talk about how she needed to rely on the Lord to make this change. Lindsay and I have been writing to each other since then. Lindsay came back to VBS this past summer. And she brought along her good friend Savannah and her two siblings. She seems to be doing very well with her siblings. I do think that she needs prayer for good friends and a strong walk, but of course I do too. So I'll continue to write to Lindsay. Please pray that her and Savannah will stay friends, because Lindsay will be a good influence on Savannah, and they can grow in the Lord together. It's so cool to see how God gave me the chance to be good friends with her. Lindsay was just one of the total of 31 kids who came through the VBS this year, which is amazing. If you saw how small Port Maitland really is, you can see from one end of the town to the other, and even a bit further just by looking down one road mostly. The lessons at VBS were about the armor of God. We focused on one or two pieces of armor per day. I do have to admit, even though I was a helper, I learned a lot about the armor of God that I didn't know before. I didn't really know how to use it. We learned about the belt of truth, that God's word is the truth and the total truth, and this truth holds up our faith just like a belt holds up your pants. We learned about the best plate of rice and fish. Oops, sorry, inside joke. The breastplate of righteousness. We must put on the righteousness of Christ, which happens when we get saved, and then we must choose daily to obey our King and do what is right. We also learned about the shield of faith. We have this piece of armor to keep our guard up against the Satan's fiery darts. We learned about the D darts. Discouragement, division, doubt, and doing wrong. And we learned about the helmet of salvation, which is to guard your mind against Satan's attempts to mess you up and or make you give up. The two pieces of armor that stuck out to me were the shoes of peace. First, you must know God to have peace with Him, and then you must take those shoes and walk on to share with Him with others. The other piece was the sword of the Spirit. If I'm going to take the gospel to others, I need to know how to use the sword of the Spirit, the Bible. I need to train my brain to have certain pieces of scripture ready for certain situations. Thank you.
Some people might think little children don't understand, but Jesus said, suffer the little children to come to me, because unless you become like one of these, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And the humility of a child senses God, and these children, we're talking five-year-olds, they understand love, and they understand when people love them and share truth with them. And that's all we're doing. You see how it is a spiritual battle, that Christians, they have the gospel of love and peace, and they share it with people, and this absolute truth is put out there, and people can choose to embrace it or to reject it. And these kids learn that that's all we are to do. We're to minister, to love, share this faith, and God will do the rest. You can see on those clips there that the VBS was quite fun. And they learned another thing. We all did. That when Paul said, I'm a fool for Christ, we were fools for Christ. We made it so fun for those kids. We made fun of ourselves. We did silly things because they came to hear the word. They came to have fun, but then they heard the word. So we're going to all stand right now, and we're going to sing before we move on.
Here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever block me from His hand. Till He returns, calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Till He returns, or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
You may be seated.
Kevin, James, Sydney, Daphne, and Rebecca, come on. That's the gospel. That's what we were telling these little children, and they understood. And you know, it's funny because it wasn't just little children. There are tons of adults also in this world who need to hear that gospel. All you have to do is tell them. And what are they going to do? They're going to listen, and they're going to decide. And that's all we can do. We're going to show them what God did for us. God changed us. We stand in His power. So, Kevin, would you like to go first? Okay. Sydney, would you like to go first? Sydney, go first.
He's James.
Sorry. What I have to do is remember, yeah, skunk and... Sorry, bro. Okay. Lower your head.
From your eyes, the fallout snow from a wounded soul. You hold inside the hurt of crazy by the hole starting to get old. Jump back.
I have the privilege to speak on two topics. First of all, I'm going to start with the men's breakfast, which was one of the events shown up there. So, first of all, I just want to say that it was an incredible privilege to be part of this missions team, and I really grew spiritually, because before when I started, I was... And now I'm a little more pure. So when we got to the men's breakfast area, which was in a different church that we had been going to, which is Sanford Baptist Church. We prayed that lots of people would be coming out and that we would have the ability to serve them faithfully with their, how can I say this? With, like, our songs, with Vic speaking, with Vic singing, with the talk that we can give them as they're eating breakfast, that sort of stuff. So we also prayed that we'd have some people come out, and most of our prayers were answered. First of all, Vic's and Emily's, Annie's, and Angela's billet, George Snow, he came out, which we had been praying for probably the whole week. So that was really good. And also, one of the girls up there, McKenna's dad, who I had been, it's been on my heart for a long time, that he would be coming out to the men's breakfast because we weren't sure where he was on in his Christian walk, or even if he was Christian or not. So he came out, and I was really happy about that. And so we ate our breakfast, and, you know, we had bacon, sausages, all that sort of stuff. So after we finished eating, Vic got up to speak, and that's when Mr. Westlake slowly started to break down. See, I've been praying for that for probably since I met him. So that was something that God laid on my heart, that I should be praying for him specifically. And after he was finished speaking, he was getting close to the edge because he knew that was for him. And then Vic sang one of his songs, which was about legacy, which he had been speaking about during that breakfast, and that's when the floodgates opened. He just started crying right across from me. He was, in a sense, broken. And so we all put our arms on him and, you know, comforted him. And after the breakfast was over, he came up to us and thanked us for all that. And Vic talked to him later, and it turns out that he is a Christian, but he's been having trouble lately, and Vic's sermon really helped him out, which was really good for him. And the second thing is the youth night, which was also up there. So that started out with a prayer at the men's breakfast. All us boys, you know, gathered around the kitchen, around the grill, which was still a bit smoking. And we prayed for what would happen at the youth night tonight, that lots of people would come out and people would be changed by the gospel. And we had our service, and after that was all done, we had our food. It was just like a regular youth night at here. But after that was all done, Braden's friend, who Braden is the pastor Scott's son, his best friend, his first name is Josh, he wasn't a Christian, but Braden brought him out. And he was apparently rather moved by that because he was sitting in his chair with his head in his hands. So about five of us, I wasn't one of them, it was Lily and a couple others, went over to him and started talking to him about the gospel. And after that was done, he didn't accept Christ that night, but we just got word a couple weeks ago that Braden had been working on him, and he has accepted Jesus Christ as a Savior now. So yeah, and after the service again, we Sarah Savannah's mom, who's Lindsay's best friend, came up to us and started talking to me about the impact that we've had in the community, which was really nice of her. And she said that she was really blessed by that. So it was good to know that we actually did something in the community for them. And one more thing. And after we were talking with Savannah's mom, Lindsay came up to Annie and was crying. Because we had to leave. We were role models to her, which was something that was really encouraging for me, because I'd never thought of myself as somebody that people could look up to, and it was really nice to hear that somebody could be using us as a role model to get better in their Christian life. Yeah, that's about it.
Good evening. Always wanted to say that. Okay, so I'm here to talk about two things that I had the privilege to do on the missions trip. First thing is of the men's prayer that we did while the ladies' tea was going on, which was showing up on the slideshow, and that was, like, it's one of those things that you don't have any words for. It's such a touching experience, honestly. So it was Vic who I believe, had the first idea of we go somewhere and we pray for the ladies, that the ladies would come with an open heart and give the girls the words, and Ms. Sharon, who was speaking that night, the words to affect them and effectively break them for the Lord. And it was an amazing experience, and we ended up in one of the vans that we used to, that we drove down there in. So it was a little jam-packed, but it was the longest time I've ever prayed for it in my life, and it didn't seem like any time at all. So we prayed for multiple things. Like, there was a Catholic lady that had come up before that didn't really want anything to do with Jesus or being saved, but she actually did pay attention, as we were told, at the ladies' tea, which was amazing, because that was what God did through our prayers. And I never thought before that God could actually work through prayers, and it was amazing to see that it actually happened, and it really changed my view on how prayer should be. Where's my other thing? So I wanted to read a scripture about that I thought related to that prayer and the privilege that I had to with that group of guys. It's Proverbs 27:17. It says, "Iron sharpens iron, as one man sharpens another." And that is my favorite verse. Is I have the blessing of so many people that I can talk to about any problems that I have, any questions. So that that's one of the verses that I read regularly to remind myself that I am really blessed to have this privilege, and some people don't have that. So the other thing that I get to talk about is the Camp Denial, which was up there. So that was just, the camp was just down the road from where I stayed, so we passed it when we were driving to and from the fire hall for the BBS, and it's like I volunteered to talk about these two things because those are the two things that I think were most important to me. What I got to do at the camp was I got to give my testimony for the first time, and it wasn't a thing I planned at all. I hadn't written it out. I hadn't been asked to. I think Annie and Daphne and Emily Flynn were the ones who were supposed to give their testimonies, and after they were all done, I went up to Miss Betty and I said, "Can I do my testimony? I feel like I should be doing it tonight." And so I got up there and basically just, I don't know, I just said whatever came to my mind. After doing it, I felt really encouraged that I could give my testimony, and it wasn't a thing that I had to be nervous about, because I was saved at a young age, but that doesn't make for a boring testimony, because God has used every single one of us, no matter how boring you think your testimony is. While I'm still on the subject of the camp, I'd like to just mention that we, the skits, songs, and the things that we did, it was a lot of fun to be able to be a part of that. I went up and I did a song with the other people that we did at the VBS, and basically, you know, made a fool of myself. That was what Vic was talking about, being a fool for Christ. It was a lot of fun to do that, and it really affected the people who were there, and they actually paid attention while they were having fun. Another detail on where I gave my testimony was at there's a leadership camp that goes on at the same time as the normal camp does. So they had a campfire, and our team went over to that, and that was where we talked and we gave our testimonies. And there were maybe about 8 kids there who were in the leadership camp, and after we had the campfire, I had just met them, you know, half an hour, 45 minutes ago, and I felt connected to them. Like, I could talk to them about anything. It's the same connection I feel with the missions team that I, they're just such close friends to me that I can talk to them about anything I need to talk about. And I just want to end off with our theme verse, which was the verse that I read every night to remind myself of why I was here. Let me just find it. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. So that is Ephesians 6, 10, and 11. That was our theme verse for the UBS, and I found that as a theme verse for myself to talk to anyone who came up. So thank you for listening.
Hi. For any of you who don't know me, my name is Sydney Heron, and I was blessed to be a part of the team that went to Nova Scotia this summer. While we were in Port Maitland, we had the chance to do several different ministries, like you've heard from James and Kevin so far. Two of the ones that I'm going to talk about were the Veterans Home and the time that the ladies spent time in prayer. So I'm going to start with the Veterans Home. That was one of my favorite ministries that we did this week. We just kind of went. We didn't really have like a plan, but we just kind of went and we talked to the veterans and got to hear their stories. A lot of them were already saved, and it was cool to kind of connect with them about that. And it was just interesting to encourage them. A lot of them didn't see visitors very often and got kind of lonely and bored, so it's nice to just encourage them and share the love of Christ with them. One man in particular that we got to spend a lot of time with, his name was Richard. We just talked to him for a long time. He told us about his life and his kids and his family and like everything, and it was just really cool to get to connect with him for like about an hour. The other thing that we did was the ladies' prayer. You kind of heard a little bit about that from Kevin, like the guy said a similar thing, but on the Saturday morning at the men's breakfast, the ladies gathered together around Donna's kitchen table, and we just prayed for the men's breakfast, for the people that were there, for Vic as he gave his message, and just all the components of the men's breakfast. We just sat and we prayed. I think we prayed for, what, 2.5 hours, guys? It was a long time, and I don't know about you guys, but I've never prayed for that long before, and it was amazing. It didn't feel like 2.5 hours at all. Before we left to drive to Nova Scotia, at our last team meeting, I asked God to do two things while we were in Nova Scotia. I asked him to change me. I asked him to give me a renewed passion for prayer and a passion for the Word of God. That Saturday morning, he showed me what it meant to really pray, and that's definitely impacted me. And like Matt touched on, well, Matt talked about it for a longer time, on the way home, we sat and we read Revelations, and we started Daniel and a little bit of other stuff, and that was just so cool. Like, I've never sat and read the Bible for 6 hours before either. But it was amazing, and it definitely changed the way I viewed both prayer and reading the Bible. So I just want to close with a verse. It was one of the verses that impacted me the most during the week. It's something I read a lot while we were down there. And it's 2 Corinthians 12, 9, and 10. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, and persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong."
Hi, I'm Daphne. I'm going to be talking about some personal experiences at the barbecue and seniors lunch mainly. This was my first missions trip I've been on, so it was really cool getting to see everything God did down there. So before we went down to the beach for the barbecue, everyone did a quick prayer for the barbecue, just what we were going to do down there. But Lily and I missed it because we were upstairs. So on the way to the barbecue, Vic just dropped us off near the fire hall so we could do our own little prayer. And we just walked a bit and stopped at a corner and just sat down. And I asked Lily, "Isn't it kind of weird to be right here on the corner of the street just praying?" And like as soon as I finished saying that, I realized like what she started to say. She said, "No, it's a great way to evangelize." And so we just sat there for a bit and prayed about the barbecue. And I could hear cars go by, and I wanted to look up and see if people were just staring at us like, "What are they doing?" But I didn't. But that was just a cool little experience because I don't normally sit on a corner of a street and pray with someone. So, yeah. And so when we...
I drove by and I was so excited. Broad daylight, in the corner, right by the beach, where all these people come by, and they're sitting cross-legged face to face.
Yeah, and then so when we walked down to the beach, we kept on running into all these different families from VBS and with their kids, and I just thought this is so amazing how God brought everyone out to the barbecue to listen to us. And yeah, and so when we got to the barbecue, I went with Sydney, and we were talking to a couple of families. One of the families we talked to, it was just one lady. She had brought her three kids to the VBS. She told us that she had driven 4 hours to Port Maitland, and her and her kids were staying at her kids' grandparents' house for a month just for the VBS. They came all the way to Port Maitland just for the VBS. And I was just mind blown with that, because I don't know if my parents would put up with driving us 4 hours just for VBS. And so, yeah, I thought that was really cool. And I also got a chance to share my testimony at the barbecue, and that was my second time sharing my testimony. So it was kind of loud there because of the wind and all the waves. So when I was done, I went to the back and asked Mrs. Heron if she could hear me all right, and she said it was perfect. And the lady next to her looked me in the eyes, and she just said, "That was a beautiful story." And that just really encouraged me, like thinking that, wow, like my testimony that God gave me, like impacted someone. So it's really cool for me. I'm going to be talking about the seniors' ministry too. I actually kind of missed a lot of it because Sydney and I went down to a lady's house, and she wasn't really home, so we didn't really know what to do because her doors were open. So we went over to the Moors, who were just across the street from her, and we asked, "What should we do with this food?" Because we weren't sure if we should just leave it on the doorstep or something, or like bring back some other time. Mrs. Moore's just like, "Oh, just walk right in. It's fine." And Sydney's just thinking, "Are you sure? Because if I found food on my kitchen counter, I would never eat it, just randomly there." So we just wrote a quick note and left. We went over to her house again, and I wasn't really thinking. I just walked right into her house, and Sydney was behind me looking around like, "What if someone sees us or something?" Like, so, but we just left it on the kitchen counter, and later on, lady thanked us for it. She was really appreciated for it, and she couldn't come to the seniors ministry because she wasn't feeling well, but she came to our ladies ministry later, so that was really cool. When we got back to the seniors ministry, we got back just in time for the lesson, and I saw this lady get up. She was a Catholic lady, and she just got up and left. She didn't want anything to do with the lesson. But it was really cool how God worked, because God gave her another chance, and she came back to the ladies' ministry and stayed for the whole thing. So that was really cool to see that. I'm just going to close with something. I was talking to the camp director of Camp Snell on the youth night. One thing she said to me that really stuck in my head was, "People here have built walls up around themselves, and you guys have broken through them." And that just made a huge impact on me, because it was really cool to hear that, because you never think of yourself as someone who makes a huge impact on someone like all of us did. And I just thought that was really cool. So, yeah.
Hi. You might not recognize me, but my name is Rebecca Bellier, and I go over to Bowmanville Baptist Church over there. And I just have to say how great it is to be up here with all my Christian friends, because this opportunity has been—it's been great for me and my family to see this. It kind of gels. So to start us off, the mission trip was fantastic. It was late April in the evening, and I've been coming to youth. And Miss Betty came up to me just out of the blue and said, "Do you want to go on a missions trip?" I didn't think about it because my dad went to Malawi, so I just said sure. And that was that. So what I'm here to talk about is the ladies' night. And as you've heard many things. There was men's breakfast and the ladies' night. And with the boys praying for us outside, we had a really good time. We sang songs. We had a great lesson from Mrs. Heron, who isn't here today. We had a story from Angela, and we had testimonies, and I had read mine out of the few girls who did. And as I was up there, I kind of dragged on and said, like, the Christian life isn't easy, but it never was, but all good things come with a price. And it was great just to have the feeling that it wasn't really about me. I mean, yeah, I told my life story on a sheet of paper. But that even in the ladies' minds, for even 1 second, if it was just 1 minute of their life, it might come back to them, but that they got to hear the Word of God, and I brought that out. And the same thing at the senior's home. I mean, at the veteran home, because my grandfather was a veteran, all the men there reminded me of him. Passed away. But it was great to talk to them and to talk to these ladies, because it was just fantastic just to see their reactions. Of course, it made them giggle and laugh, but at serious times they heard the Word of God, and that was pretty much basically the most important thing I could have asked for, even if it didn't stick, even if they just said, oh, that was great. It was still in their mind, and they still knew where to go. All the ladies there, I have to say, were fantastic. It was great. We had Donna's help. She helped with the food and everything, and the ladies got everything together. And it was just really good. I felt really happy to be there. And like I said before, it felt really good to be on this missions team. And one question I have to leave you with is, whose side are you leaning on?
So you can see many new ministries, many new experiences for the youth. That when Kevin was talking about the van and the prayer, the boys got together and prayed for the women's ministry, we couldn't see out the windows when we were done. My shirt, I could have wrung out. It was amazing. And people were walking by, I wonder what's going on in that van, but it was all the guys in there praying. Kids that age, that's a young group we've got, that age, pouring their hearts out for the souls of women. And it's incredible. Can't touch on everything. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to ask the guys to come up. Ministry stretches you. So guys, come on up, who are going to sing this song. Guys who never sung before, God said you're going to sing. So we're going to sing the first two verses of what we sang one day at a church. I believe that it's important for us to be stretched, come out of our comfort zone. And people who have never sang before, God empowered us to sound good. So hopefully, with that said, and Angela, my wife, sorry, she sounds the best of all of us. So I need that sheet. So we're going to sing the first two, and just listen to the words. Some of you here don't know the Lord. So listen to these words. We'll do our best. Your kids say they prayed for 2.5 hours straight. That's what God can do when you step out. You step out. And they said it seemed like 10 minutes. So I was blessed to see all this. I was blessed to hear their testimonies. And I hope you're just getting a glimpse of what God has done. Now, a lot of people say, oh, that's what happens on mission trips. Well, they brought this back. We did a VBS here too. And we had an amazing, Josh, we had amazing VBS. Because these kids are sold out for Christ. They're sold out for the truth of the Scripture and what the Bible stands for. I'm going to ask on a topic called Leaving a Mark. Emily Slim and Josh Trolley, and I would ask you 5 minutes. We're running 10 to 8. Do we worry? Is everyone enjoying? Okay, come on up, guys. Emily Flynn, Josh Trolley, going to talk about leaving a mark.
So, I'm Josh. in case you couldn't deduce that, I came up without notes. I actually threw them in the garbage. That's a symbolic gesture that I think our group can understand. So I don't have to hide behind the notes. I can speak from my heart. Talking about leaving a mark, whatever that means, I'm going to more kind of try to focus on the unity that this group had through the different things we did. So to start out, weeks before this mission trip started, we had meetings every week. We would prepare. We had lots of things that we had to prepare, physical things we had to prepare. We had to paint these giant canvases with sections of castle walls and knights and princesses and dragons and stuff. And if you were here during any time during the week of VBS here, you would have seen them. We used them to transform this room and the room in Nova Scotia to medieval times. It was actually quite neat. But those meetings where we painted those in those times and where we practiced skits and stuff were an amazing opportunity to just focus, get focused on what we were about to do and get our minds focused on getting ready for the trip, because even weeks in advance we're just getting focused on that we're going to serve the Lord. And it was just a great opportunity to get our minds focused, and the Holy Spirit really used those times to bring our group together to have a bond that Vic talked before about, how when you go on a missions trip you'll have a bond with these people, your brothers and sisters in Christ, which is something that should happen throughout the church, not just for like a team that goes to Nova Scotia, but that should happen with the whole church, and it's amazing to see in a group like that. And that helps us through times of struggle and when we have difficulties, which now I'm going to talk about one of those difficulties that we had. When we first get to Nova Scotia, we get to the fire hall where we'd had the BBS, and it's a room slightly bigger than a classroom, and we had to set up these canvases on the wall. And so we were told, you can't use thumbtacks, that'll ruin the walls. So no using thumbtacks. We had to use duct tape. It was a good idea. Tape these 40 square foot canvases, cover all the walls. We come back the next day, they're all on the ground. Every one of the canvases had fallen on the ground. All the tape had come off it. We were less than a few hundred feet from the ocean and humidity. All of them fell on the ground. We were kind of frustrated about that. So we used double the amount of duct tape, put them all back up. Next day, they were all on the ground. I think I commented to someone, it felt like we were in Dagon's temple. Like, they just kept falling prostrate on the ground. So that was kind of frustrating. Every day we had to get a team of us and wrestle these things back up on the wall. But it was amazing to see how everyone on our team was always looking for work to do, looking for jobs, and everything got done amazingly quickly. We had to set up chairs and tables for all of these different events that we had to do, and it was amazing. Everyone worked together, and everyone was focused on task, and no one ever complained about what we had to do. But that went really well. What else should I talk about? Going totally sideways from that, talk about something that happened with me. God's Word changes lives, and Jesus can change lives, and this mission trip was something that changed me and changed a lot of this group. I don't want to repeat what too many people said, but that Monday night I broke down, and it was amazing for me. I wanted to read Scripture, and I wanted to get into His Word, and I enjoyed that. That was amazing. And again, the prayer that we had, the prayer that a bunch of men in a van for an hour or so praying, pouring our hearts out for the Lord, it was just an amazing opportunity. And hearing these guys praying, and me myself praying, and filled with the Holy Spirit. It was an amazing opportunity. I pray that all of you would be able to experience that. It's an amazing experience, and it's not something that that's just going to stay in Nova Scotia, but I pray it would stay with all of us and that we would be able to pass it on to you. And I'll just end quickly now because we're probably running out of time or whatever. We had this skit and we weren't going to show it now. We don't have time for that or whatever. But it had to do with letting your light shine. So Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And there was a lot of stuff that we did, and we don't want to take credit for it. We want to point to God, and I hope that you can see from what we're doing here that we're trying to point to God in all that we did.
All right, 5 minutes. Challenge accepted. You know I'm really bad at summarizing, but I think Josh talked a bit more about the physical mark that was left, and I'm going to talk more about the emotional and the spiritual mark. I think to start, I can say with confidence that I've never experienced anything quite like the feeling you get when you see God move, and not just God moving, but God moving in response to a prayer and desire to see His glory made known. And that is definitely a blessing. That is one of the greatest blessings you can experience, and it's definitely one that we got to experience in Nova Scotia. I was watching a pastoral video by John Piper the other night, and he brought up the verse in James 4, and he says, "You have not because you have not asked God." And I think we can twist that around and say, "You have because you have asked God." And that was definitely something we got to see, because I was talking to Daphne today, and we saw there was so much prayer. I didn't realize it before, but there was a lot of prayer going into this trip and on this trip and after this trip. There was prayer partners, which were people in Nova Scotia that agreed to pray for a certain person. There was you guys. We had a bowl of names, and you all pulled a name, and you prayed for that specific person. Each prayer moment we had on the trip, it was, "Oh, you have nothing to do," or, "Oh, you finished preparing? Well, let's go pray together. Let's read together." There was prayer before events, prayer after events, prayer in the morning, prayer at night, prayer all the time. And I think that it's, if we say there was a mark that was left, I think that we can say the mark that, or the thing that made that mark was prayer. It was a very, very powerful tool that we used. So now going on to the mark that was left, I'm talking about two, the mark that was left on us and the mark that was left on them. The first mark that was left on us. Before we left, Miss Betty made us write on some pieces of paper where our faith was at that point and where we wanted to see it after the trip. And we just got those papers back tonight. I thought they were gone, but they weren't. And I was looking at it before we came in here, and it's almost as if God made me write down the words I wrote down, because I didn't realize it then, but all of the words that I wrote down, I just wrote down point form words, not, well, I did write sentences because I'm bad at summarizing, but the words that I wrote were so applicable to what we experienced there, and I won't share them because we don't have time, but I think that, I can skip that, no time. Over the course of the trip, and now that we're home, I can see an incredible difference in the youth, like an incredible difference. Just praying with other people, just praying with the youth, it's something that we used to do Friday nights in our prayer groups, but now it's something that when I'm praying with them, they're not even focused on the fact that I'm there. It's not the type of thing, I'm praying to the people around me, they're praying to God, and they don't even notice I'm there anymore. It's a desire to see God moving, and it's a desire to see Him working in their lives, and it's incredible to watch that a prayer that was a few seconds and just uncomfortable and scared is now a prayer that takes a really long time, where their parents are waiting outside the youth ready to go and they're still praying. And that's an incredible thing to see. Another thing that is really encouraging to me is the amount of messages, phone calls, and texts I get saying, "Oh, listen to this Bible passage I read today. Listen to how God's working through me. That sermon Pastor Jacques gave totally applied to what we were talking about." And it's incredible just to see the mark that changed these people, and how all of us are just so excited to keep reading, keep striving to learn more, and keep praying. So that's that one. And then the mark that was left there, there was a quote I read the other day, and it says, "When obedience is in the ascendance, just step out. He will tax the remotest stars and the last grain of sand to assist you in His almighty power." And that's by Oswald Chambers. And really, I think what that's saying is, if you step out, if it's not about where you're going, it's not about whether you're going to India, Nova Scotia, or just going to your house in Newcastle, if you're ready and if your heart is in the right place and if you're praying, like so much prayer went into this, God is going to use you, and He's not going to pass over you. He's going to use you. And I think that we can look at that. Anyone on the trip can agree that everything was chaos. We're preparing for something and practicing about 5 minutes before we start, and nothing was organized. And just looking at that, it's almost as if God was saying, you know, when you're weak, I am strong. When you decrease, I increase. And I think that's what it was. It wasn't that we were prepared. We didn't have a schedule. We were totally disorganized. Things were changing. People were changing roles. It was chaos. But our hearts were in the right place, and we were praying. And then it just kind of all levels out, and it takes on its role. And just in all that chaos, I thought, how could anything possibly work out in the midst of all this? But it did. And people were constantly coming up to us. I've never seen my child so eager to read the Word of God. I've never seen my husband or my wife react this way. I've never felt this way myself. I've never seen God working in me this way. And it's incredible to see that even in the midst of total chaos, God pulls out certain points, and He pulls out certain verses, and He pulls out certain testimonies that affect someone. He pinpoints them, and He connects all these things. And it's incredible to watch these marks being made. And it's not us, it's God. Just one of the specific ones, someone else brought it up. I'm sorry, I don't remember who. But Braden is the pastor's son, and he told us a few weeks beforehand he had a friend named Josh Jackson. And he said, can you pray for this man? He's going into first year university this year. And he said, I have a feeling about him. God's given me a feeling about him. And so, of course, you know, we're all praying for him. We're all praying for this person. We didn't know his name at the time, but we were all praying for him. And we went down there, and he came to the youth night, and you know, people were talking to him. He was listening, and Mr. Doucette went up to him. He said, just think about what you've heard tonight. You need to think about what you've heard tonight. And I was talking to Josh after a couple weeks ago, and he said that to me, and I didn't want to. I just thought, yeah, whatever, you're kind of full of it. And then he went home, and he said, I couldn't help it. It was just, I had to think about it. It was just there. I tried not to, but it was just there. I had to think about it. And he did. And after we left, it was the one prayer request that hadn't been answered, that okay, well, we were praying for this guy nonstop, but, you know, he didn't come to know Christ, but whatever, there's a plan. And that plan was fulfilled on August 14th, Wednesday, he came to know Christ. And it was incredible because we were talking to Mr. Doucette Friday at youth after, and he said he just remembered his name, and he thought, oh, I should pray for him, and he prayed for them. And there was a couple other people, too, that thought, oh, I should pray for him, and they thought it on that day, and he came to know Christ that night, which is just incredible. And I'm talking to Braden, he said his life has totally changed. The people he hangs around, the things he talks about, what he's doing, how he's spending his time, it's changed. He's just a different person. And Braden said, I don't even recognize him anymore. And it's incredible testimony. So just one of the things Josh said to, one of the things that Josh said to Braden was, God is in the details of their lives. The little things they do, the little things they say, the little ways they act, God is in just the details of that. And I think that it just shows us that a simple prayer, just remembering his name, and just a simple prayer like that, a simple gesture towards him, all these little things can have an impact on someone's entire life and their entire eternity. And in turn, after he was saved, another person followed behind him, and he was having an impact already. Just being saved for a few weeks, he's having an impact on other people. And it just reminds you that you need to make sure God is in the details of your life and the things you say, the way you act, the prayers you pray, and the things you say. It's so important to remember that it can have this huge effect, this domino effect. So those are the marks made. Thank you.
Humble and raise them high. You choose the weak and make them strong. You heal our brokenness inside. And give us life, the same love that set the captive free.
trip is not only for the people that you're going to, it's also God uses it to affect those who are sent. And I see a lot of pictures of our youth, and I think about our youth, and they're worth praying for, and I know a lot of you did for this trip, and they saw answer prayer. And just very briefly, I'm going to have Caleb and Lily come up, and they talk about evangelism. Your children went up to perfect strangers on a ferry and said things like this. Excuse me, sir, are you busy? Can I ask you a question? And every one of them said, sure, go ahead. Do you know who Jesus Christ is? And all the conversations went from there. There is no technique. You don't need a workshop. You just go up and you say, Lord, I'm going to talk to that person. Can you bless that conversation? And every single time they did, they were blessed. Every one of them. You know, not my son, not my daughter. My son never does that. That's right. But they do now.
Alright, as many of you guys know, my name's Caleb Heron. I did write something out here, but I don't like to read, personally. I was told to talk about beach evangelism, and here goes. I specifically like to talk about one night. It was during the ladies' tea, and I think that's what really pulled me closer to God. After we had finished our prayer for the ladies, that they do their job there, we weren't sure what to do with the rest of the night. We were kind of like, okay, well, we had to wait a couple hours until we had to clean up, which we do. And immediately God told us what to do. He told us, you're going to go to the beach and you're going to evangelize. So we're like, oh, okay, let's go. And I don't remember. I don't think there was very many people at the beach. Was there? I don't remember. We had some good conversations with people. There's nothing truly out there. And by the time the hour was up, we had to go back. We thought, well, instead of taking the easy way back, we could just walk down this little pathway. Let's take the long way around. Let's go all the way this way. So doing that, we walked around. I was with three other people. I'm not going to mention the names. There were actually two other people. And we came upon a couple. They were just about to leave, and so we thought, okay, God has placed these people here, and we're going to talk to them no matter what. And we went to talk to the guy. The girl, the lady kind of ran into the truck as we went over to talk to her, probably because there's three male teenagers walking towards them. So we came up to the guy, and he was, funny enough, he was an atheist. And we had a very good conversation with him. Was God real? Was God not real? And he was very hard to talk to. I'll admit to that. He was very hard to talk to. And by the time we were just about to wrap up what we were talking about, one of the guys in our group of three said, Jesus loves you. The atheist. And the atheist says to him, if there was such a thing as Jesus, he would want nothing to do with me. And the guy, I'm not going to say his name, but the guy that said Jesus loves you, he turns around and says, no, Jesus is real, and he wants everything to do with you. And I thought, it was amazing. It's truly amazing. I don't know what else to say. We sat down after that, sat down on the corner, and like Daphne, I'm not very used to sitting on corners of roads and praying, but we did it. And we prayed for probably 20 minutes, I think, and it was just this one guy. It was something else, something I've never experienced before. This trip was a blessing to go on to. I love everybody here. It was great. That's all I have, actually.
So I kind of didn't focus on evangelism as much as I was supposed to, but I did focus on something instead of events that happened, more lessons that I had learned on the trip. I'm Lily. If anybody doesn't know, my mom told me to say that. The first thing I want to say is that, so that I won't be caught in sin, is that all the work that was done and all the lessons that were learned and everything good that we talked about and will talk about comes from God, leaving us with only one thing to boast in, and that's in Christ and in the cross. In James 1, it says, all good things come from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no shadow or variation. And that was one of the life-changing things that I learned on this trip. That wasn't just head knowledge anymore. It wasn't just a downed phrase you hear every Sunday after Sunday, but it was something, it was wisdom. It was truth. A lot of the team learned pretty quickly through evangelism that there's a huge blessing that you receive every time you evangelize. There was some of us, it was our first time, and some of us, it was our first time going up to strangers and talking. And it was just great to see, after the first time a lot of people did it, they said, I can't wait to do that again. I can't wait to go back out. Just the fire for every spare moment would either be prayer or evangelism or reading the Word of God. One of the questions that I came back with after the trip is, well, actually, it was probably the main question I came back with, is what does it truly mean to follow Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? And Jacques actually preached on that a couple Sundays ago, and it was no coincidence. It's what my mom and me had been discussing ever since I got back. How do you practically serve Christ in everything you do? And God provided that answer to me through the sermon. I'm still trying to work out exactly what it means every day, but it means denying ourselves, right? Taking up our cross. So I want to talk a bit about VBS. I think VBS taught me more than it taught some of the kids, which was kind of funny. I had never really understood the passage of Ephesians 6, the armor of God. I never really got it. But thankfully, God gave me understanding. He had to explain it to me like I was a child, though. I so often found myself believing lies that the devil had put to keep me silent and joyless. I so often believed that I wasn't good enough to share the gospel. And every time I used to share the gospel, I actually would have a terrible feeling after. And it was because my guard was down, and the devil wanted me to think that I couldn't share the gospel, or wasn't supposed to. I'd been letting my guard down and been letting my armor get rusted, and not even putting some of it on. It made me a very easy target, and I'm shamed in saying I turned to other things to get joy from, such as TV, instead of God. But this missions trip brought me back to that point where I knew true joy would come from God. I knew that He deserved everything. And God blessed me and is blessing me with being able to realize the devil's lies before they fester in my mind, before I start to believe that they're true. I don't feel bad after sharing the gospel anymore. I feel good. I feel joyful because I have that guard up and I have that armor on. One more thing. I must confess something to you all. I, for the longest time, have been praying for the unity of this team and the people going on the trip, and God answered that prayer. I have 20 new and better friends than I had before. But when I came home, and I was talking to Emily about this, the thought that Christ could unify the people of this church never even crossed my mind. And I'm sorry for that. But I'm being more and more convinced that it shouldn't be weird to see people praying on the side of the street together. It shouldn't be weird to see us crying together in the hall after church. It shouldn't be weird to see us praising God in the hall after church. That shouldn't be something that we see on a rare occasion. But I often find it's one of the last things we do. It's one of the last things I want to do. And that shouldn't be right. The unity we experienced in Nova Scotia needs to be here as well. And I challenge you all to pray for that. I challenge you to ask someone how they are doing and not leave until you get an answer that's better than good. Because we need to take off our masks together. We need to be real with each other. And that's when God is going to spark revival. And that's when God's going to use us in this community and in the world. Thanks for your time. Love to talk to more of you guys after.
One of the huge blessings is seeing Scripture comes alive for the young people, that there is a spiritual battle. And the Bible talks about a spiritual battle for the hearts and souls of mankind. And you can hear that a lot of the youth, God has given them that vision, given them that compassion. That's why Christ came. He came to seek and save the lost. Oh, that really, I can see how what that is now. It's really applying to my life. Last three speakers, besides I close, are Betty, Angela, and Nevin. Come on up. I thank you for your patience, but I also think that God is speaking. I do think the Lord is using this, so enjoy. I mean, I revel in what I listen to. And it didn't stop there. Again, it was in our VBS here. And as Lily says, it carries on. It carries on.
So, hi, I'm Nevin, and I'm going to share a little bit about some of the kids at the VBS we put on and some of the things God taught me through that experience. So, before we put on the VBS, I was really nervous about trying to get to know some of the kids and talk with them and try to share the gospel with them. I was really focused on how I would figure out how to talk to them and reach out to them, and I wasn't relying on God for the words to speak to them and the wisdom to talk to them like he promises in Luke 21. So it was only after a lot of prayer that Sunday night and the Monday morning of the VBS that I was able to stop worrying and just able to trust in God to give the words and opportunities to speak to the kids. So it was amazing how much I saw God doing this in all the conversations all of us on the team had with all the different kids. We just wouldn't be nervous about it. We'd just go up and start talking to them, and then things would go from there. So one really interesting experience God let me have at the VBS was talking with a kid named Joseph. So Joseph was a 13-year-old kid, and on the Tuesday of the VBS, he came out, and I was able to start to talk with him for a bit before the lesson. He told me he went to Catholic school, and his parents didn't go to church and didn't believe in that, so I was interested to keep talking with him and see where he was at. But before I could get much farther in the conversation, the lesson started, and as someone else mentioned, on Tuesday the gospel was shared. And afterward, we split into groups and kind of asked the kids where they were at and what they thought about what they heard. So when I said God would give me the words, like I was praying for God to give me the words to speak, he made it even easier than that. He made it so that this kid, Joseph, would ask almost what seemed like loaded questions for me to share the gospel with him. So he asked questions about who God was, and he kind of knew about it from Catholic school, and God led me to all different verses in the Bible to answer them with, and I could tell that the Holy Spirit was moving in Joseph, and before we were done talking, he asked me if I could help him pray and ask Jesus into his heart as his Savior. So this event is where God showed me what he could do and how he encouraged me to talk even more with some of the other kids and even a few of the kids here at this VBS. So these kind of experiences are what made our whole team so excited when we came back to be able to help with our local VBS and other ministries. So to end my short time off, this next part is where all you guys come in. Our whole team's come back on fire for the Lord and want to find ways to serve. You guys as the congregation can pray for us as we begin to do things like help with Boys Brigade and Gable Girls and teaching lessons to other youth group members. So I'd like you guys to pray specifically for all the kids who were saved at VBS here and in Nova Scotia, the team so that we continue to be on fire and serve God, and our team for finding ministry opportunities in the church so that we can continue what we started in Nova Scotia.
So what did you do this summer, Angela? Well, I got in a big white van with 16 teenagers and my boss and drove 18 hours to Nova Scotia and was up from 6 till midnight and in between. You can never outgive God. You can never. I challenge you to try and outgive God. It was fantastic. Just watching Nevin come up, and I could speak about each one of these kids. I was so blessed by watching each of them. It was amazing. I'm just going to talk about some prayer requests that we would ask you guys to follow up on. And you're going to get a sheet on your way out, and I ask that you put this on your fridge, put it in your Bible, put it wherever it is that you're going to see it. I'd ask you to pray for Kristen Rhino and her three kids. A few people have talked about Kristen already. She brought her three kids to VBS, and when she came out to the family barbecue, she told me that she had she's a cancer survivor. She had just been free of cancer for about 3 months. And her daughter Ella accepted Christ at VBS, and her son Hayden accepted Christ at the camp, which is in town, only but a few weeks earlier. And Kristen has started going to church at Baby Baptist Church. All the glory to God. The first week that we were there, there was one child in church. There was one child in that church. The week that we left, there were 12. And Kristen has continued to come to church and to bring her children to church. And we just pray that they would continue to come to church. Pray that they would find fellowship. Pray that those children would fall in love with the Lord. Apparently, Hayden has China on his heart to be a missionary, and Donna has hooked him up with Stephen to talk about the East, where Stephen has been and where Dieppe has been, his wife. And we'd ask you just they bring more children to that church. It's a dying church. And I was thinking about it today. I was looking around Newcastle, and I was looking at all the sort of college and career age in the young couples, and I was thinking, we are so blessed. You have no idea how blessed we are. There are faithful seniors in that church at Port Maitland, but there's not a next generation. Pray, please pray that there would be a next generation that comes to that church. Pray for somebody to have the passion to pick up youth and children's ministry there. Pray for the parents in the community to send their kids. They're willing to send their kids. Camp and Isle is not that far away. It's the only kids' camp in the area. Doesn't matter that's a Christian camp. People send their kids because it's there for them. And if there's something there in Port Maitland, people will send their children. Please pray for that. And then I'd ask you to pray for Max and Jesse. Max accepted Christ at the VBS in 2011, and he came again in 2013. He still had the Bible we gave him. He was excited about the Lord. And as he shared with Victor, who hadn't been there in 2011, how he had accepted Christ, Max is 9, I think. Max started to cry for his father. His desire is to see his father be saved. He has a passion at the age of 9 to see his father be saved. Pray for Max. I was discouraged, but I know the Lord has his ways. Max brought a friend to the barbecue, and he was not a good friend. I could see that he was not going to be a great influence on Max. I pray that you would pray for Max. You would pray to send Max a good friend. And there was another young boy there named Jesse. He had accepted Christ at Camp Peniel. One of the team, our team members on, I think it was Tuesday, sorry, he went up to a very, what we might consider rough-looking gentleman on the beach, fairly covered in tattoos with his two children. And he said, you need to send your kids to VBS. And guess what? They were there the next day. You know, he had the courage to go up and speak, and they were there the next day. Jesse sat under the teaching. My goodness, he was so convicted. He listened to every word. Never think a child cannot hear what you're saying. He heard every word. He was totally convicted. And we spoke to him afterwards, and his passion is also for his father. And Max and Jesse just happened to go to the same school, and they're in the same grade. Please pray that they will form a friendship. Please pray that they will support each other in their walk with the Lord. Right now, it seems that they're alone, but we know that they're not. We know that the Holy Spirit is there with them. Pray for these two young boys and pray for their dad. We found out that on the Monday, Jesse's parents had split up. And it was on the Tuesday that Jesse's dad had invited, his kids were invited to go to VBS. Please pray for them. Pray for Sarah and Emily. Both of them are 11 or 12, I can't remember exactly, and they're cousins. And their grandma brought them together for the week for the purpose of bringing them out to VBS. Their grandma was very quiet. She dropped them off and she left very quickly, so I don't really know what the story is there. Emily was very open, very happy, very sweet girl, told me right away that she knew Christ. She sat down beside me and she told me about her family, and she told me that she was sad because her mom and dad didn't like to go to church, but she really liked to go to church. pray that she will have the opportunity to go to church, whether it's with her parents, whether it's through a bus ministry. She doesn't live in Port Maitland, so she can't go to Bayview, but wherever she is, the Holy Spirit's with her, and the Lord has Emily in his hands. And then there was Sarah. Sarah was a really quiet young lady, very sweet. And by the end of the week, I didn't really know where Sarah was at with the Lord. And we sat down with our little orange floats. It's one of my favorite. You know how you have a memory and you have a picture in your mind? I just have a picture in my mind of sitting beside Sarah. And I just said, "Where are you at, Sarah?" And she said, "On Monday night after the lesson, I went home and I accepted Christ." And she couldn't stop saying thank you. She was so thankful. And I said, "Emily and Sarah, you need to get together. You need to pray for each other. You need to encourage each other. You need to keep each other accountable." We gave them both Bibles and devotion. And I said, "You phone her up and you say, are you reading your devotional? Are you reading your Bible? Their parents are not going to church. They have no one taking them to church. Please pray that they will start. Pray for Emily and Sarah." This girl had the sweetest peace about her. She had peace about her that I've known Christians that have been Christians for many years, and I've never seen the peace that this little girl had. She said, "Thank you so much." It was incredible. And then pray for our youth. These kids are on fire for the Lord, but they do not live in an easy world. You all know that. It's hard for you. It's very hard for them. I know what school's like these days, and I ask you just pray for their protection and their enthusiasm, and I ask you pray for unity, and I ask you pray that that would spread into the youth group here. This is the generation. Someone said, don't say it's the next generation of their church. They are just as vital a part of our church. If you were here and saw VBS, we could not have done the VBS without them. They loved those kids. They shared the gospel with those kids. And those kids come because of these kids. Please do pray for them. We hear negative statistics about teenagers and about, this many fall away and that many fall away. And I'm sure there's truth in those statistics, but God is more powerful than statistics. They are not statistics. They are kids who have seen the work of the Lord and they are on fire for the Lord. Please pray that that fire will continue.
John 15, 16, and 17 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. And this is my command. Love each other." God chose 21 of us to go. And I recognize that scripture is oriented towards calling people into knowing the Lord. But he called us to go. And initially, first thought is, logistically, this is going to be very difficult. But God sorts all those out. Second thought was, God must be planning on doing a really big thing there and here. And he's not done doing it. God laid on my heart probably 6-7 months ago that we should go back down to Nova Scotia, see how they're doing since we left them last. And it was very encouraging for those that had been there before, because we see kids still walking with the Lord. Annie talked about Lindsay and her sister that she was having difficulty with, Samantha. I don't think she knew the Lord when we left, but she sure knew her when we arrived this time. Beaming smile. And these two girls are doing their piece in evangelism. They brought a friend, Savannah. And actually, when we broke up, and every day we would actually talk with the kids to find out where the other kids' hearts were at, someone said, "Well, Savannah knows the Lord." And something God laid on my heart, I don't think she either doesn't know the Lord or she's not walking for the Lord. And God's not a God of coincidence. Later, the next day, Lindsay and Samantha came up to me and said, "Can you talk with Savannah? I don't think she knows the Lord." So we actually went aside and we had a little heart-to-heart She goes, oh yeah, I know the Lord. I accepted her at camp. And so we had a little discussion about, was she following the Lord as opposed to just believing in who Jesus Christ was. And she rededicated her life. And God just continually showed us how he's a God of precision. What I mean by precision, we had another situation that Vic and I participated in. Some of you may have read it when we wrote home about Avita Linkleiter. She, well, Vic and I were actually coming home from VBS. We'd rounded up all the kids, and they were all home. We were at Donna's, and we were coming home, and we were talking about the day, and we missed Donna's driveway. We said, oh, well, there's Donna's son, John, so we went up a couple more houses to talk, and out walks this lady, very unassuming. She's probably about my age, and sweaty, and working hard, working like a man. She's refurbishing a building for the community, you know, trying to pour into the community, doing good works. And we stopped and we talked to her. And we found out she was a linguist, knows 43 languages, spends the languages she likes the most are those around the Middle East. She's interpreted scrolls and documents. She knows about the prophecies of Christ. And she told us about experiences she's had, experiences about getting shot, and experiences of helping getting an orphanage going in Brazil. So then we said, but where's your relationship with Christ? Oh, well, you know, there's science and there's religion. And as we talked, and we had the opportunity to actually meet with her a couple more times, and a couple of the guys, three of the guys, we went one day and she had this heaping mound of lumber to move and actually put out of the way. We went back and got three guys and said, can you actually, you need to be part of this ministry. We're going to gather that stuff up. Well, Vic and I actually talked to her. During that discussion, she moved from knowing, because she knew there was a God, and she knew that there was prophecies about Christ, to saying, well, it's here. Said, well, what about uttering it? I'm not ready to do that. She knew she had to surrender something. We don't know what that was. But it reminded me of how precise God's word is. We all know some of the verses, right? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised them from the dead, you're saved. Verse 10, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you confess that you're saved. James 2:19, you believe that there's no God? Good. For you, there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that. So she had the know-how. She knew in her heart there was a Christ that had risen from the dead. We said, well, before we come back next time, we're actually waiting to hear that you've actually uttered. So pray for her. Her name's Avita Linkleiter. But it reminds me, what I was reminded over and over again at this on this trip was, we have to be careful about leading people to Christ and ensuring that they actually just don't accept Christ, but they're actually committed to follow Christ. Because there's a big difference between the two. It's like Jesus said, right? You say, he called me Lord, Lord, but he sends them away because they didn't know him. The knowing is actually ensuring that you're actually prepared to follow, to surrender to him. I think Annie did a wonderful job of sharing what our theme was on the Kingdom's Chronicle. And Angela was sharing about what our kids are going through today. It allowed us, that theme allowed us to share absolute truths that actually come from Scripture. So simple that a child can understand them. and we are being lulled to sleep every day, forgetting that there's a battle underway for the souls of our children and our grandchildren, your friends and your neighbors, and the world is not like the world we remember when we went to school, those of us that are older. These kids are in a very dark world. Society and the school system, particularly in North America, even the church, is allowing deceptions to come in, social lies that actually challenge all the absolute truths of Scripture. Creation versus evolution, there's no absolute truth. Live for today. Do it, you deserve it. Look out for number one. All of these are replacing the message of you need to surrender to Christ in order to have a full life and to have joy. And we need to actually remember and not be lulled because our friends are all Christian into realizing that our kids can't discern the difference because they're seeing the church act like the world. So these kids have actually seen the genuine work of the Holy Spirit. It will change them for life. When we confront the deceptions of the world, God does something. The Holy Spirit starts moving. Some of the young people and adults, they contemplate it. They might dismiss it. The kids take it all in. They're very pliable. And there's an opportunity for us to actually have an impact, even here in Newcastle. I look at this big building out here, and we got a job to do. There's lots of lost people. These kids were out talking to people when we were preparing for our own PBS, handing out flyers and stuff. Nobody has time for church. Nobody has time for God. And we need to remember that we actually need to be weeping for those. I think of Jesus' experience with Mary and Martha after Lazarus was raised from the dead. It says Jesus, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews that had come alongside her were weeping, he was deeply moved in the spirit and troubled. Verse 35 says Jesus wept. Jesus once more was moved when he came to the tomb, and we need to realize that they were dealing with the physical death of Lazarus, and he raised him from the dead. This is before he raised him. The lost are dead as far as God is concerned, and we need to be deeply moved to actually strive to find ways to share the gospel with them and be bold and put our armor on and go out and share, just like these kids have. And they're on fire to do it. Every time I see them, is there anything else we can do in the community here to actually share the gospel for Jesus? We all need that. Whether you're old or whether you're young, we had people from Leo to Annie out sharing the gospel. God will use us all. God established a covenant of grace with his people through the work that Jesus did on the cross. The grace and the covering for eternal life is not for those who just believe, but for those that are committed to follow those who know Christ. Daniel 11 reminds me of the challenge of today's deceptions. It says, with flattery, speaking of the evil one, he will corrupt those who have violated the covenant, but the people who know their God will firmly resist him. In other words, they will stand strong. Those who are wise will instruct many, though for a time they will fall by the sword or be burned or captured or plundered. When they fall, they will receive a little help, and many that are not sincere will join them. Some of the wise will stumble so that they can be refined, purified, and made spotless until the time of the end. For it will still come at the appointed time. The end is coming. Jesus and John the Baptist's message is the kingdom is near. We need a sense of urgency about saving souls. And we need to ensure we're not ones that are violating the covenant that we have in Christ. but there were actually ones that are standing firm, resisting, and out willing to surrender and actually suffer, sacrifice, to ensure that people get saved. These kids are prepared to do that now. They've seen it. And they're on fire to try and actually bring that into the youth group, which is great. Our greatest moments are sacrifice. I have another one-liner for Leo. No story, no glory. We can't give God glory if we actually don't work so that we can actually leave a story, a testimony to what he's done. Another part of Acts 29, and the work that he's done after he finished writing Acts. Jesus said to the woman who anointed him with perfume when she made that large self-sacrifice, I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. We may not get any glory in this earth. In fact, we have no desire to actually get it. We want Christ to get it. But God shows us through this example that he magnifies us in the overflow of his glory if we're prepared to actually make self-sacrifices to win the lost. So I encourage you, I hope you've been encouraged by what you've heard tonight. We are the church remnant of today, the army that's left of today, and we've got work to do for the Lord. And it was fun doing it down there. It was fun doing it here. There's probably about 20 prayer requests on that list. We have probably 20 for here too, which we need to assemble for you folk. But God is still working. He's just looking for people that are willing to make a self-sacrifice to go out and do it. And it's actually fun. When we worked from 6 till midnight, these kids never complained. In fact, when they got back, they said, my biggest problem is, what am I supposed to do with my time? So God will actually fill it. Thank you so much.
Well, I hope you're blessed by tonight. I am going to say something, and I'm going to try and do it in 5 minutes. So if someone has a stopwatch, I'm going to try. As I am trying, you guys can come up and bring that one song. They're going to close with a song that became the prayer of the group. And I believe it will be in their hearts and minds for the rest of their life, because I hear it still. As they sing it, just listen to the words. It is a prayer. And we hope that it is a prayer that God has instilled in you after you heard the excitement that has happened. So I have 5 minutes. I'm going to say this. Go. I could tell you of the battle of the truth. I could tell you that we had one focus, and that was VBS. But I could tell you how God had other plans. I could tell you of Jerry, the fisher lobsterman, who was beside the house that we would pull up in every day, and he would hop out and talk to us, and we'd give him the gospel, but he'd reject it every single day. I could tell you of Jerry. I could tell you how God took a photograph, expert dude or whatever, from Toronto. He put him right in front of me while I was standing on the pier by myself. I could tell you that. I could tell you how the ladies' lunch, a husband told us about how his wife is Catholic and he wishes that he just goes to Catholic Church because it's not worth the battle. I could tell you how the lady was moved. I could tell you how an atheist on a ferry who was a doctor had good conversation and he rejected Christ. I could tell you how God led Max and how he prayed in tears for his father. I could tell you how God led me to Max's house and I got to give the gospel to his father, who was choked up because his son knew something he didn't know. I could tell you how two Catholic boys next door came the first day and they were saved, but for the rest of the week the spiritual battle continued and they weren't allowed to come back. I could tell you how there was a guy teaching archaeology on the ferry and given one sentence he thanked us and he was so moved that what he was teaching is wrong. I could tell you how there was bikers at Tim Hortons. We went to talk to them, and how one lady was a born-again Christian who thought she could lose her salvation and was so thankful that when she found out from insurance verses that she could never lose her salvation. I could tell you how God sent a skunk into our friend's little cabin there, and James thought it was a cat. We had a lot of fun. I can tell you how there's no strife, murmuring, backstabbing, fighting, and groups within this group the whole time we're there working from 6 a.m. to midnight and sometimes further by the grace of God. I can tell you how when we did VBS here, how a little five-year-old gave the gospel and considered it for 2 days. When I asked him, when are you going to accept Jesus, he said, soon. And then he came to the Lord a couple days later. I can tell you how God, by the grace of God, every one of us have been changed. But I can tell you from personal experience that it is worth pouring your life into youth. It's worth pouring life into the people sitting beside you and loving them in Christ. It's worth it. It's the only thing that's eternal. It's the only thing that lasts. And we all have secular jobs. But we can go and do that there. So come on up, guys. As they sing, if you need to, close your eyes and listen to the words. All of you come on up here. Come on up here.